containers in the building.
The voice of Michigan sports fans. This is the Michigan Sports Network.
Rise and shine, folks. Welcome back. Hour number two of X's and Bros coming at you live all across the great state of Michigan. And good morning to our friends in the Glass City as well. As we get ready to talk to the what happens next when Maction football takes a break. We're going to talk to head coach Jason Candle, the Toledo Rockets football program. We'll talk to Eastern Michigan's head football coach Chris Creighton next week. So excited about that as well as we try to get a grasp and a feeling for the pulse of what some of these programs are doing. But we welcome you back here for our number two on this Feel Good Friday. What are you feeling good about? It is the 14th day of August, 2020. Danny Cahalan, Ryan Elke in the studio. I'm Anthony Bellino coming to you from the radio basement bunker. Jake Woods holding it down in Toledo as well. Plenty of ways you can get in contact with us. You can text the keyword sports radio to 21000, sports radio to 21000. Auto Valley guest line 313-396-5527, 313-396-5527. On Twitter at XB Mornings, Facebook X's and Bros, and of course, good morning to all of our television viewers as well on Comcast Channel 900. You can reach us individually on Twitter if you'd like. I'm at AC Bellino. Dan is at Dan in the Studio. Ryan is at Ryan L underscore Key, and Jake is at Woods on Air. Big thanks to Chris Wormley for joining us. We recorded that last night with the now Pittsburgh Steeler defensive lineman, and going through some of the concerns of one not only being an NFL football player and trying to play through COVID and getting some of the protocols and the procedures, but also he's a married man. He's a family man. He's got a 7-month-old child, so maybe some of the concerns about, you know, going and trying to play in the league. You know, some people have opted out. He is playing, so it's a very interesting time for all, but I appreciate Worm taking the time to hang out with us a little bit. The Michigan alum, always good to have one of those guys on the air with us. Coming up here, like I said, hour two, Jason Candle will join us at 7:35 this morning, head coach of the Toledo Rockets, as we try to figure out what is next for some of the smaller programs. You know, we've been focusing on Power Five, but what about the Group of Five, the MAC being the first conference that decided that they were going to postpone play? You know, we'll get to some of that as well. I really love the fact that Purdue's Jeff Brohm came out with a plan. And he even in his plan, he mentioned Jim Harbaugh for the seeding game, if you will, at the end of the season to determine a conference champion. If they play in the spring, putting together an entire calendar that covers the rest of 2020, what 2021 would look like going into 2022, at least somebody's thinking and trying to put together a plan. And that's what I really appreciate about Brohm. He had a whole calendar, an entire breakdown. I absolutely love it. I think it's a great plan. And I think that, as we mentioned yesterday, some games with fans is better than no games with no fans and better than some games with no fans. So if we have an opportunity to play in the spring, I think we should do it. I know a lot of people are against it. I also think that the NFL needs to work with the conferences and with the NCAA, maybe be a little more flexible on some of the dates that they have pinged for the NFL draft and workouts and combines and whatnot to try to accommodate a little bit. As we know, all of the schedules are going to be in flux. Worm mentioned not having the preseason. We were supposed to have preseason football last night. Lions and Patriots was supposed to be last night. We were supposed to have a full slate of games tonight in the NFL, but there is no preseason this year. So we are able to do some things differently this year. I would imagine that the NFL should be somewhat helpful in regards to making sure that if conferences like the MAC, like the Big Ten, like the Pac-12, are going to try to play in the spring, that they allow some flexibility within their schedules in order to change their calendar a little bit to make amends and make sure that we can get some of the guys like a Nico Collins, for example, big name player there, make sure that, you know, he has an opportunity, one, to play if he'd like to, you know, because some guys will opt out and go right into the NFL draft process, and that's fine too. But for other guys who needed just a little more tape, that would be a good opportunity for him. What's going on in the sports world? We'll try to get you all caught up with all the happenings. We'll do so right now in the headlines.
Big news
news.
I have a little news flash.
Let's check the headlines.
No, it's real news for once.
The biggest stories of the local, regional, and national news.
This is huge news.
All right, huge news. We had a doubleheader that was scheduled but postponed as the Cardinals were supposed to take on the Tigers for two yesterday. That didn't happen, so the Tigers actually got an off day, which was going to be very much needed as we look forward to the next couple of weeks for the Detroit Tigers, but they will be back in action for the first of three at Comerica Park tonight against the Cleveland Indians. Ivan Nova will take on Aaron Civale. That game is 7:10 first pitch at Comerica, 70 degrees at the time of the first pitch at 7:10. You can catch our buddy Matt Shepard and company on Fox Sports Detroit with the call tonight, 7:10, tomorrow, 6:10, and then Sunday, ESPN nationally televised game at 1 o'clock for the Tigers taking on the Tribe. Couple of big tight end signings in the NFL. George Kittle and the 49ers reached a five-year, $75 million extension. Good for him, good for that team, huge part of that offense. When it comes to blocking as a tight end, that's your guy. He can do it all. He can block, he can catch. That is a great tight end find for them. Travis Kelce and the Chiefs, they agreed to a four-year extension. $57.25 million, which is crazy because going into this offseason, the Chiefs were literally $171 under the cap. And somehow they signed Chris Jones on the D-line. They signed Patrick Mahomes to the biggest contract the world has ever seen. And they also signed a franchise tight end. Like, incredible work by their cap specialist. That they literally have people on staff that are capologists. That's what they do. They study the salary cap and they figure out how do we make this all work. How in the world did they sign three guys for the amount of money that they signed them for in Kansas City with only $171 worth of leeway? I have no idea. It's beyond me. They deserve a medal, a Pulitzer, something. Because whatever they got brewing in Kansas City is brilliant. Shout out to Patrick Mahomes, too, because he's a part owner of the Royals. And I think it's brilliant. A young man who's got it all figured out for the most part, at least on the surface. Greg Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs. A record-tying 22-year playoff run came to an end yesterday. And they actually knew that before they even took the floor. So it's pretty crazy. The San Antonio Spurs are going to miss the NBA playoffs. First time since way back in the 96-97 season. Unreal. I mean, that was San Antonio. I think the Detroit Red Wings now are in the clear for the longest consecutive playoff berths by a franchise. I think they're in the clear, that 26-year run.
The Patriots missed one year, didn't they?
The Matt Castle year, yes.
Matt Castle year, yeah. So, I mean, it's in for football, that's almost too much to ask. And by almost too much to ask, I mean, that's ridiculous. If a football team made it 10 consecutive years in the playoffs, I'd have to say that's probably, you know, that's impressive all on its own. 10 consecutive seasons? Because you look at the limited number now, of course, it expanded this year from 12 teams to 14 teams, so we'll have a little more wild card action, if you will. But, I mean, that's a tough ask for an NFL team. Damian Lillard and the Portland Trailblazers escaped with a win against the Nets. They're going to reach the play-in round. Congratulations to them. Blake Griffin said he is willing to take on, quote, a different role for the rebuilding Pistons. The 31-year-old underwent arthroscopic debridement of his left knee on January 7th, has been training 6 days per week in anticipation for the NBA's return for the upcoming season, and he's willing to accept whatever role, which is interesting because Buddy Hield yesterday, when asked if he would accept a different role in Sacramento, he was not thrilled about that idea. What if Buddy Hield went to the Philadelphia 76ers? I'd be interested in that. NCAA President Mark Emmert said there is no authority for the NCAA over conferences and school decisions made on football. Which I find is very, very interesting, considering you're supposed to be the governing body. You should be controlling everything, but there they go. They just admitted they have no control. Yesterday's scores in the NHL. The Columbus Blue Jackets stopped the Tampa Bay Lightning 3-1. Golden Knights, a 4-3 winner in overtime over the Blackhawks. The Canes beat the Bruins 3-2, and the Stars topped the Flames 5-4. Going back into the bubble real quick, in Orlando, a whole bunch of games. The Washington Wizards beat the Boston Celtics 96-90. Kings, a 136-122 winner over the Lakers. Grizzlies topped the Bucks 119-106. Suns, 128-102 winners over the Mavs. The Jazz beat the Spurs 118-112. Blazers, in a big-time win, 134-133. Caris LeVert, the Michigan alum, was on fire last night. 37 points for LeVert in that game, but outshined a little bit by Damian Lillard's 42 in that ballgame. The Blazers will now get the play-in game in the Western Conference, and the Magic topped the Pelicans 133-127. And we had a caddy cost a player a match at the U.S. Amateur because the caddy touched the sand yesterday on the 18th hole. Would you fire your best friend and or your caddy? I don't know. We could discuss that. More of X's and Bros coming up after this here on the Michigan Sports Network.
When you're in construction, you know that every minute matters and every dollar counts. You've got materials to purchase, employees to pay, and deadlines to meet. What you don't have is time to worry about your accounting, taxes, or ways to grow your business. That's where we come in. We're Bean Garter. And while your business is construction, our business is helping you run your business better. From tax planning, payroll processing, or R&D credit studies, we're here for you with concrete advice and answers. Let us help you build a solid foundation for your business. Whether you're a subcontractor, developer, architect, or engineer, of all the things you build, make your business the strongest. Experience service, expertise, and simplicity at Bean Garter. Find us online, beangarter.com. Bean Garter.
It's easy to get all the best groceries in town in one trip when you shop at Meijer. Find everything your family needs, from fresh produce to everyday products at low Meijer prices. Save with weekly deals going on now, like family pack boneless, skinless chicken breasts, only $1.88 per pound. And Meijer vitamins or supplements are buy one, get one free. Get all the things you love for all the people you love, all in one place. At Meijer. Some exclusions apply. See all the deals in the Meijer app.
These days, we're all looking for ways to keep our families safe and our homes free of bacteria and viruses. To help in these uncertain times, your local Rood dealer is offering a free healthy home analysis. They'll inspect your current system and make sure it's keeping you and your family safe from airborne contaminants. Visit Rood.com. That's R-U-U-D.com to find a dealer near you and to schedule your free healthy home analysis. Breathe easy and breathe healthy. Rely on Rood.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. 7:18 on this Feel Good Friday. What are you feeling good about? It's a good question to ask everybody. It's a good thing to remind yourself of all of your blessings. Good to feel positive. Get rid of negative Nancy. No need for that. Got to be positive Polly today. Dan, Ryan, you guys feeling positive about anything?
Right off the bat?
Right off the bat. You got to have something you feel good about.
Yeah, it's Friday. That's like number one. Is the weather going to be nice this weekend?
See, Dan
don't
was,
say that.
Dan was caught off guard because his good thing right now is that golf's on TV, and he's distracted by the golf on TV right
yes,
now.
Yes, Bo Hostler is distracting me.
Mm. Bo Hostler's distracting you. Ryan, what are you feeling good about?
I'm the same with Dan. It's Friday, golf's on.
There's going to be a sports.
It's going to be a good – yeah, it's well – today, NBA action, the most worthless day of competition right here. Like, we're talking about every 15th man on the bench getting 35-plus minutes in these games.
Well, okay, there's a couple things that are up for grabs. The Miami and Indiana game, it's a battle for 4 and 5. So whoever wins takes the 4 seed. Whoever loses takes the 5 seed.
Takes the bigger or the sticker on the home court first?
Yes, they will get the sticker. We already have, like, the Western Conference was basically decided yesterday in
it's
complete...
all pretty much set now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all, I mean, we're going to have a play-in game, but outside of that, and we had Portland, Memphis, Phoenix, and San Antonio all willing to play for that play-in game. Portland ends up getting it because they won, and that's all they needed to do was win. The Grizzlies, Suns, and Spurs a loss. Any of those happening, and they would have won. The Suns, they got the win. They finished a perfect 8-0 in the bubble. Memphis ended up winning, but San Antonio, they lost, as they already knew when they were playing that their run of terror was done for the most part anyway. So
now, do you think with how this playoff's set up, this can be our Boogaloo Supreme Poll question of the day. Is this playoff game, play-in game format here to stay?
For the 8-9 seed?
Yes.
I don't think so. I think that this is a lot like what MLB has done with the runner on second or an
expanded
playoff.
Or is it like the
playoff.
Wild card game that the MLB created, a one-game play-in game to the playoffs? All of a sudden creates excitement.
I would be up for that.
So I think especially kind of how you've seen the Western Conference kind of like bundled up at the bottom here with normally some good teams.
I don't know. The
like if you're within three games, they say, all right, let's roll the ball out. Let's do it.
It does make it very interesting because with Portland's win and they get the play-in berth now, they're going to be taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. And what we were looking at was Portland was 35 and 39. Memphis was 34 and 39. And Phoenix was 34 and 39. So you had those three teams right there really bottled up at the end of this bubble madness. Would it be kind of fun to see the 8 and 9 play? Because what happens is they go into this play-in game, and if the high seed, the 8 seed, beats the 9, if Portland beats Memphis in game 1, then it's over. Portland advances. But if Memphis wins, it basically turns it into a game 7.
Right.
I mean, so it's two game 7s for Memphis.
Because we've seen MLB switch to a play-in game with their wild card. We've seen the NCAA tournament expand the play-in games from 16 seeds to also 11 seeds. I think this could possibly stay here on out, where they just kind of add a playing game to add some excitement, and that way they can showcase someone, I don't know, like Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns, John Morant of the Memphis Grizzlies, these younger stars that are on these rising teams that people don't get to see normally.
It's unique to the West right now. What would happen if it were the East, right? So you'd have the Charlotte Hornets, who didn't even get invited to the bubble because the Washington Wizards were so bad and lost every game they played, basically. You would have the Charlotte Hornets are actually ahead of them in winning percentage. So you'd have the Hornets at 23-42 playing the Magic at 33-40 in a one-game eliminator. That, to me, it's like, okay, you know, Orlando has done their job. They're 10 games better.
Right, let's say put the stipulation that they have on it now. Like, if you're thin, you know, two or three games, we'll let you decide.
I would be okay with that. I think that would be unique. There was also another idea that was pitched out. I believe it was Bill Simmons at The Ringer who had put this idea together because they were talking about midseason tournaments, and you're not going to really be able to motivate people with money or anything like that. But if they cut down the regular season by 10 games, let's say, and they played a 72-game regular season, but they added a midseason tournament, and you would break the midseason tournament into the top 16 teams would play in one and the bottom 14 teams would play in another. And the way it would work is the first round of games, if you won, it would count as a win. The second round would count as, I don't know if it was two wins. The third round would count for three wins. And if you won that tournament, you would get an extra like four or five wins added on to your season total. And it was like, that's how, you know, when you start talking about playoffs and seeding, like that's how you could motivate guys to play in an in-season tournament like that. That's not the full breakdown of it, but that's kind of the gist of it as quickly as I can. And I thought it was a really good idea. Like it's very, very unique. I don't know if we necessarily need to change the regular season. I think that right now, you know, everybody's always focused on how can we make things better all the time. You know, I'm not a big proponent of the 162 game MLB season, but 82 games in the NHL, 82 games in the NBA. Is it too long of a regular season? I don't know, 41 home games? Like, I don't think that that's too long. You play right around, I want to say, 18 to 20 home games throughout a college basketball season. So I'm one of those people that really enjoys it. I really enjoy the NBA, and I know that, you know, if you don't really watch it, if you don't really enjoy the NHL, then the regular season doesn't matter to you to begin with. One guy who's really stepped out, and he had a great game last night, and I just wish that, you know, how fun would it have been if he could have stayed healthy his entire tenure at Michigan, would have been Caris LeVert. And Caris LeVert has been a consummate professional since he has been in the NBA. He's been absolutely fantastic. And it doesn't matter. You know, I think that what happened to him in college has helped prepare him to be a pro. And it doesn't matter what all the ruckus is about. You know, he missed the game when he shot at the end on a turnaround, but it was his shot to take. Scored 37 points last night, added 6 rebounds and 9 assists. He was 16 of 29 from the floor. And he's been a very good professional basketball player. A guy that was taken in the first round at the 20th pick overall to the Indiana Pacers back in 2016. Like, had he stayed healthy, who knows what could have been.
Right, and sadly, that's the thing that's been holding LeVert back his whole career, is that he hasn't been healthy, and it's not his fault. He, what, blew an Achilles, what, 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks, too, because when he is healthy and playing, he is outstanding. Like, he's a 20-7 guy. And he did well at the Pacers, got hurt, went to the Nets, and he has been part of why the Nets have been a playoff team the last couple of years, because of his play. Like, last year, I don't think he was talked about enough with the Nets because it was all about D'Angelo Russell and Spencer Dinwiddie. But he's kind of the glue that kind of helped all put that together. And there's a reason why he's still in the Nets and why they're doing as well as they are this year.
Yeah, I was very torn on the fact that they dealt D'Angelo Russell, because it seemed like what the Nets had going there with their roster and their depth chart, it seemed like it was really working. Now, you're never going to turn away an opportunity to add a guy like Kevin Durant, one of the most gifted scorers the league has ever seen. Right, you're just not going to do that, right? But it, you know, when you looked at last year's team, having a guy like Jarrett Allen, having a guy like D'Angelo Russell running the point guard, Spencer Dinwiddie, Caris LeVert, it seemed like they were very diverse. It seemed like they were a good team. They weren't that next level team that I think that when you talk about what they did in this offseason, adding Kevin Durant, adding DeAndre Jordan, those are two huge names. I'm just not a fan of Kyrie Irving. It's tough for me to get on board with the flat earther. And I look at the way that Boston has played this year. Jason Tatum is having a career type of year. One of the best scorers in the game. I know we got a lot of attention to Booker and to Damian Lillard right now, but
15.
You can't forget about Jason Tatum. He has been absolutely fantastic. The back 10 games of the regular season and even in the bubble restart, like, that guy. And what was the problem there? Kyrie Irving. We're going to step aside. We're going to talk a little more football. The head coach of the Toledo Rockets will join us, Jason Candle. He's coming up next here. The Mac hit pause. What's next for those programs? We'll discuss it next on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Huge here for Watson Rockford. The most exciting new Ram truck store in Michigan has joined the Watson Country family of dealerships, known for the best selection and best price on new Ram trucks anywhere in Michigan. Watson Rockford is also an exclusive Business Link dealer, and that means they know trucks, including a full line of Ram commercial trucks like ProMaster. At Watson Rockford, we don't expect your business. We do everything we can to earn it. Get your best price on your new Ram or Jeep during the summer clearance event. Watson Rockford, off of 131, exit 101 and M50.
It's a new day, a day of winning big at Soaring Eagle during the $1 Million Summer. Saturdays now through September. That's right, $1 Million in premium play is up for grabs, with six players winning $500 every half hour from 9 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. It's the $1 Million Summer, only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com for complete rules and details.
Huge here for the incredible Tullymore Golf Resort. Now, they're located in Canadian Lakes, Michigan, which is less than an hour north of GR, a couple hours from Detroit, maybe an hour and a half if you're coming down from Traverse City. It's accessible to everybody listening right now, and it's one of America's top public golf resorts. They offer two 18-hole layouts, Tullymore and St. Ives. They have fantastic stay-and-play packages, like the Sizzle and Summer deal that includes a prime rib dinner. Go to TullymoreGolf.com, book that stay-and-play package, mention the Huge Show, and you could save at TullymoreGolf.com. Also, check out the Lodge. It holds 24 people if you want to have the ultimate stay-and-play getaway when it comes to golf and also after your round. They offer fine dining to great sandwiches and more. See it for yourself at TullymoreGolf.com. That is TullymoreGolf.com, the Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan.
Well, Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network, broadcasting live all across the great state of Michigan. And good morning to our friends down in the Glass City as well. Ryan Elke and Danica Haitlin in the studio. Jake Woods holding it down in Toledo for us. I'm Anthony Bellino, and joining us on the horn right now, he is the head football coach of the Toledo Rockets. It is Jason Candle. Coach Candle, my friend, good Friday morning to you. First and foremost, how you doing? How you feeling? Everybody on your end safe? Everybody healthy?
Good morning, Anthony. And yeah, we're doing good. Everybody's just, you know, weathering the storm and keep pushing on.
That's all you can do, right? It's all perspective. The news came out last Saturday that the Mid-American Conference was going to, I don't want to say cancel, I'd rather say postpone, because we don't really know yet. There's a lot of unknowns floating around out there. When did you get word that this was likely going to happen? And then did you have the opportunity to tell your players yourself, or did they kind of find out on the fly on Saturday like the rest of us?
Well, I mean, there was a lot of potential situations out there that what the schedule was going to look like, you know, an 8+2 model, an 8+1 model, potentially, you know, moving into the spring, that kind of stuff. And you heard a lot of rumors about what was going to go on. And, you know, I mean, this thing works in a situation where, you know, the coaches have their say, the ADs have their say, and then the presidents ultimately make the call on everything. So, you kind of have an idea what each group, you know, particularly wants, and then you wait and see when it, you know, goes above you or what it looks like. So, yeah, I found out Saturday morning, and, we had voluntary workouts in the morning and kind of like a soft tissue / recovery lift for the guys that morning, because we had, you know, we had gone four or five straight days in a row there with, you know, with workouts. So, you know, guys were in there, and I was actually meeting with some seniors when the news kind of broke. So, you know, I was able to be in person and face to face with a lot of guys that, you know, it was actually around 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock actually when it happened. And, you know, there was a change in lifting groups. So I saw about 30 guys, around the building. So got to get in front of some of them, but other ones, I had to get on to Zoom call and let them know what the story was.
Coach, what was their reaction when they got this news? Because this is a group, whether you're an incoming, I guess it doesn't matter if you're an incoming freshman or if you're a senior. It's been a wild offseason in terms of any sort of schedule and routine. Things have just been so much different this summer in comparison to just about every other summer we've had. So what was the reaction from your guys, the upperclassmen? I have to imagine there's a lot of questions as to eligibility for the younger guys. It's got to be like, okay, well now what do we do? And I'm sure there was a lot of disappointment and maybe some frustration shown by, you know, not only the coaches, but the players as well, as we try to figure out what's next.
Well, I think, you know, we're in, you know, we're 4 or 5 months, you know, into this thing, knowing that there is a virus and knowing that we're going to have to deal with it some form or fashion. And I think if you were back practicing football and in the voluntary portion of it, you get through the voluntary portion of it, you get to, you know, to the fall prep period where we're, you know, mandatory workouts, all that kind of stuff. I mean, guys had the option to, you know, so-called opt out and not play and that kind of thing. And I think you've done probably have done a really good job of understanding what the, you know, what the risks are, you know, the best of your knowledge from a gathering knowledge standpoint of things. And then you've done a really good job gathering information from what you've seen. And then you formulated a plan, an individual plan on what you wanted to do. You know, did you want to sit out and not take that risk, or did you want to go through it and want to play? And I would say probably 99% of our guys, you know, wanted to play football. And once they'd made that decision in their heart and committed to that, then, yeah, of course they're disappointed that the rug was pulled out from underneath their feet. Of course they're hurt. You know, they want to play. And I don't blame them for wanting to play. I want to play. But, you know, there's some things there that we can't see. There's some things there that we don't know. I'm not a doctor. These kids are not doctors. We have to rely and trust on the information that we are given by those medical professionals. And I think during this time, whether it's your job, my job, or a 18 to 22 year old kid's job to prepare for football, I think what you're looking for every day in our lives, we're looking for certainty and we're looking for clarity. And we live in a time right now where certainty and clarity are not, they're not there. So, you have to be able to live in that world. You have to be a little bit uncomfortable. You got to be able to trust the people that, you know what they're talking about when it comes to this stuff, even though it might not be what we want to do. And we got to just keep preparing and getting better.
Yeah, the clarity piece there, really good, because we don't have any of it. We don't have any answers to any questions, and it gets frustrating, and it can upset you because you really don't know what's going to come next. You just got to keep preparing as if tomorrow we're going to be, you know, geared up and ready to go. And Coach Candle, you are someone who actually you tested positive for the virus. What were some of your symptoms, and when you got that news, your reaction to it? Because you're a family man. I mean, you have a wife and two really young children at home, and there's a lot at stake here. You have some staff members that are older. It's one of those things that you really take a look at. You look at the way that MLB has tried to handle this to the best of their ability, the breakout in Miami, what they had going on in St. Louis, some of the precautions that the Cleveland Indians have had to take because some guys stepped out of their protocols, and how challenging all of this would be on campus, considering there's a lot of people affected than just the one individual who may or may not get it.
Well, I think, again, it goes back to what we want and what we want to do and what we have to do. I mean, we want to play football, but what we have to do is we have to still understand that, you know, there is a virus out there, and we have to take the necessary precautions that we keep ourselves and our families and everybody else around us. And, you know, we can't, in my situation, obviously, I'm not making light of the situation because my experience with the virus is way different than a lot of people's, We know people that have lost lives. We know people that family members have passed. We know, people that have really had some really, really traumatic experiences with this thing. And mine was not, you know, at least at this point in time. I mean, mine was very mild, really no symptoms for myself. My wife had tested positive as well. Her symptoms were very mild as well. Make it through the quarantine process, which by the way, is a very frustrating time period, because every time your children sneeze or cough, you think it's the end of the world, you know, and you're just everything is heightened. And so yeah, I mean there's not a common theme to every day. There's not a, you get up and you just kind of wait to see what's next and you hope you don't get sick. And and like I said, our experience is much different than many people who have experienced some very severe symptoms. And obviously, I think the numbers out there obviously, you know, speak for themselves on how this thing can work. So, but I still think, and you know, when you talk about the football piece of it and 18 to 22 year old people, again, what they want to do and what they have to do, I think we're living two different worlds here.
Coach Jason Candle of the Toledo Rockets joining us right now here on the Michigan Sports Network. Coach Candle, you and I have we've known each other for a while. Usually, over the course of the summer, we'd be out at camp and we'd be, you know, just the life would be a whole lot different than it is right now. But this offseason, with the curveball that COVID threw, and then a very difficult time for your program as you actually lost a player from your team and Janiel Douglas, who passed away over the summer. I mean, it has just been like one thing after another when you look at what 2020 has brought to the doorstep. When you got the news that one of your kids now is no longer with us, and trying to talk to the team and trying to overcome and take that step, that what was that like? I mean, I can't even imagine sitting down there, and this is a guy that, you know, who is from the city of Toledo, who went to school right there in his own backyard. You know, obviously football teams are very, very close. It is a brotherhood. It's a bond. And to lose somebody like that, I don't know. I don't know how the players cope with it.
Yeah. Really hard experience. I mean, that's one of the ones when you get into coaching that you hope you never have to go through. But, JD was a great human being. First and foremost, he was a great person. He was a guy that had an infectious smile. He was a guy that lit up a room when I can vividly wake up and we have a team meeting or an offensive or defensive unit meeting, I vividly, like, I stand in the hallway and I can vividly see JD walking up the stairs into that hallway, with a big smile on his face and probably cracking a short joke at me, you know, prior to walking into the team room. Like, yeah, it's not easy. And, you know, and that's my memory. And each player on the football team's got their own memory of JD. And, you know, it's sad that that's that's what we're stuck with. But, you know, we have to, as hard as it is and as hard as it was, we have to move on from that part of it, and we have to celebrate him. We have to honor his life and everything that we do. One thing that JD was a really work hard, try hard, get better type of guy, and a get better mindset guy. And I think that, you know, our veteran players who had great relationships with him always appreciated that. So I think it would be criminal that if we didn't, you know, individually take that approach to how we look at each and every day from here on out. And again, like I said, this, and you tied that in with this virus and what the cards were dealt right now, it's not what we want, you know. But if he was here today and practicing football with us, you know, he wouldn't be moaning about this. He would be full speed ahead and going strong and trying to get better. And I think we have to continue to honor that. We have to continually be there for his family, you know, and anything that they may need when it comes to any of this stuff, and then continue to, like I said, celebrate his life and everything we do as a football program.
Well, Coach, we got some of the difficult questions that, you know, I know that can be a challenge to answer, just because it you know, makes you think about it if you're not already thinking about it. And to be able to get through some of those, to get back onto the football side of things, what's the schedule like right now? What are you allowed to do? What did the MAC or the NCAA tell you as far as maybe some sort of practice schedule? Is this basically now, as we kind of sit and wait, if there's a potential to play spring football, is this kind of like spring ball now, fall ball?
Well, I think you have to assume that we're playing in spring. You have to plan and prepare that way. So, yeah, I mean, we start school here Monday, and some of the other schools in our league are not on that same schedule. Some schools don't start till, you know, much later than we do. But we do start school Monday. We do have to, you know, prepare and plan for a non-traditional season in the fall. And I think, you know, the challenge our team is, you know, we got to – that's what I'm going to say the other day. It's win the wait. You know what I mean? It's when are we going to play? What are we going to do? And that certainty and that clarity is not there, you know. But we know we're going to play at some point in time. And we've got to, like I said, win the wait. You got to take care of your body. You got to train. You got to work. You got to invest time into being the best player you can be. We got to do a great job of learning. You know, this is an awesome opportunity to learn more about our teammates. This is an awesome opportunity to get, you know, more individual attention. You know, we have a new defensive coordinator. We got a new special teams coordinator. We got a new offensive coordinator. We got a lot of change going on in our program. So, you know, this time for us, like, my gosh, if we don't take full advantage of this, we're crazy. So, you know, the challenge of the team is, you know, has always been and will continue to be that you learn from your past. You do the best job you can to produce the present, whatever the present situation, the present circumstances they are. And then you ultimately and obviously prepare for the future. So we can't change who we are and what we live by because the circumstances change. We just got to, you know, have that get better mindset and keep moving forward and rally around each other. You know, you can't get caught up in this. And here's one. If social media is the loudest voice in your life, like, holy cow, we got a problem. You can turn on Fox News. You can turn on CNN. You can pick up, you know, your phone and get on Twitter, or you can get on Instagram. And, I mean, my gosh, you could go 1,000 different ways. And people can direct your thoughts and direct how you get up and move each and every day. So if social media or the news is the loudest voice in your room, I think, you know, whether you're 18, 22, or you're 40 like me, you got a real issue and a real problem. So just trying to make sure that we focus on what's real and not, you know, what's fabricated and what's, you know, and live in a hypothetical world and get better.
Tell you what, Coach Candle, motivational speaker. We're going to win the weight today. That's what we're going to do. We're not going to, you know, we're going to win that waiting game of hanging around trying to figure out what's next. And we're going to focus on the real voices that are most prevalent in our lives. What do you think about, you know, the fact that you have maybe some redshirt guys, some freshmen coming in that might be able to have some sort of impact on your program, even guys that have already been on the roster? We're talking about, okay, they haven't played since, what, last November? So it's been quite a while, but this is actually just extra time. And for the young guys, for the high schoolers making the transition into college, this is almost like a gift. Here's some more extra time for you to, one, learn what college football is all about, and two, get adjusted and acclimated to the fact that, you know, tackling a 21-year-old young man is a lot different than tackling a sophomore in high school.
Well, it's needed. I mean, we would, in a traditional year, typically we bring our veteran guys back, the second week in May or third week in May, and our freshmen would get here as soon as their high school season was done, or their high school graduation happened. So we didn't get that time this year with them. We got them here, you know, mid-July, and said, go to work, learn a playbook, and get moving. And we were into football activities, you know, the second or third week for some of these guys when they were here. They didn't get that. They didn't get that transition period. They didn't get that bridge program that's set up. And it's set up for a reason, because it does bridge the gap between high school and the collegiate game, you know, when it comes to football. It does bridge the gap between high school academics and getting into a college class. And I think that's very critical. So, you know, we didn't get that time, you know, and like I said, I'm not going to sit around here and mope and whine about what, you know, we're not playing and that kind of thing. Like, I'm using this as, you know, as a gift for those type of guys for certain, because they need this time. They need that, you know, that development when it's not a threatening environment. And I think that's one thing right now we have at our expense. And I think we got to do a great job taking advantage of it.
Last one here for you, Coach, because we're up against it. Spring ball. Are you in favor of trying to get some sort of season in, you know, in the spring, whether that begins in January or early February, whatever the case may be? Would you be a fan of playing early in 2021?
I am, and I think that, you know, we got to do what's right. We got to do what's best for our young men and in our program and in all programs across the country. If this is, you know, we're in a situation where. We have a lot of things that we can't control, but there are things that we can control, and we can always control doing the right thing. And I think we got to do the right thing when it comes to these young men. And, you know, if that means that we play an abbreviated schedule in the spring to give them some football, then that's what we should do. But we should still hear of eligibility from a guy that, you know, had a senior season stripped away from him. We should allow that guy to be able to, you know, go through the spring, and then if he wants to come back in 2021 and play, then you know, the Rockets are at Notre Dame in 2021, then my gosh, that guy should be able to go to Notre Dame and play in front of his family and play in front of his parents and, you know, play there. You know, I don't want to strip that. I don't think it's right that we strip that opportunity from these young people. But I also think that there is a need for football. I think there's a need to play games. You know, what that entirely looks like from a pinpoint standpoint of start date, end date. I don't know if I'm there yet on that, but I do believe that opportunity is needed and is welcomed.
He's Jason Candle. He's the head football coach of the University of Toledo Rockets. And, Coach, I missed you at the golf outing this year. You'd have been proud. I was just out there hitting bombs. I felt like Phil Mickelson, just piping them down the fairways. Maybe hit a house or two. Not a big deal. But I appreciate you taking the time to join us this morning, my friend. And let's touch base soon.
As always, I appreciate you having me. Go Rockets.
There he goes, Jason Candle, head football coach of the Toledo Rockets, and I'm all in favor. You know, he mentioned it right there at the end. You can't take away, if they play in the spring, you can't take away a senior's opportunity to come back if he wants to come back. Like, I'm full on board with that idea. Doesn't matter if it's in the MAC, the Big Ten, wherever the case may be. If you're going to play spring football, if your season got postponed or canceled, you should be able to come back and enjoy a real senior season. That's the end of hour number two. Don't go anywhere. Hour number three coming up next. Chris Wormley, Michigan alum, Pittsburgh Steeler. He'll join us. Don't go anywhere. Keep it locked to the Michigan Sports Network.
There is nothing on earth more amazing than the human brain. No computer can match its intellect. No work of art can rival its beauty. And there is nothing on earth more personal than your brain. It defines who you are. It determines how you love and what others love in you. Your brain is unlike anything we have ever known or will ever see. And in a moment, all of that can change forever. Traumatic brain injury, TBI, can happen anywhere, at any time, to anyone. TBI can define who you are. TBI can determine how you will love. There is nothing on earth more amazing than the human brain. And for victims and families of TBI, there is nowhere on earth like the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor.
The Eisenhower Center, leading the way in traumatic brain injury rehabilitation. Learn more at EisenhowerCenter.com.
Bill Simonson here for the sports medicine team at Metro Health University of Michigan Health. Now, they serve the entire state, and they offer up some of the best sports physicians, physical therapists, access to some of the best surgeons, and also a training staff that covers every sport, high school, youth, college, and pro. You can go to metrohealth.net. Just click on sports medicine. If you or a child of yours has suffered an injury and you want to get back to playing or maybe going out for that nightly jog, they can help. Or maybe your child wants to return to that game they love to play. Go to metrohealth.net. Just click on sports medicine. From youth to high school to college to semi-pro and pro sports, they are the leaders when it comes to dealing with sports injuries. Find out more. Go to metrohealth.net. Just click on sports medicine. That's metrohealth.net. Huge here for the incredible Tullymore Golf Resort. Now they're located in Canadian Lakes, Michigan, which is less than an hour north of GR, a couple hours from Detroit, maybe an hour and a half if you're coming down from Traverse City. It's accessible to everybody listening right now, and it's one of America's top public golf resorts. They offer two 18-hole layouts, Tullymore and St. Ives. They have fantastic stay-and-play packages like the Sizzle and Summer deal that includes a prime rib dinner. Go to TullymoreGolf.com, book that stay-and-play package, mention the Huge Show, and you could save at TullymoreGolf.com. Also, check out the lodge. It holds 24 people if you want to have the ultimate stay-and-play getaway when it comes to golf and also after your round. They offer fine dining to great sandwiches and more. See it for yourself at TullymoreGolf.com. That is TullymoreGolf.com, the Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan.